The big question, how are foreign currencies affecting trade?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We ask today's big question as the House Ways and Means Committee begins a couple of days of hearings on China's currency, the yuan. Critics charge China's currency is undervalued and that gives it an unfair trade advantage. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is live in Washington with some highlights. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So what can Congress do about this?
Well, some members of Congress want to pass a law that would force China to let its currency rise in value. And they say China has devalued its currency, the yuan. And that gives Chinese exporters an unfair advantage because their products are cheaper than U.S. products because the dollar is worth more than the yuan.
All right. So the U.S. has tried to pressure China for years on this, right, Nancy? Have we made any progress?
Yeah, that's right. We haven't made a heck of a lot of progress. Last spring, when the Obama administration considered labeling China a currency manipulator, China actually agreed to loosen the yuan's peg to the dollar. And the yuan did rise a tiny bit against the dollar. But some analysts say China is just trying to throw Congress a bone. Peter Morici is an economist at the University of Maryland.
China's letting its currency rise a bit to distract the issue and give its advocates in the United States some ammunition. The currency's 50% undervalued, and letting it rise a few percentage points has no effect on trade.
And Morici says we should really just focus on China's trade policy. He says we should levy an across-the-board tariff on all imports from China.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reporting from Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
In the meantime, the Central Bank of Japan today intentionally weakened that country's currency, the yen, for the first time in 6 years. They sold yen and bought dollars. Japanese business leaders are applauding that move. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
A strong currency may sound like a good thing, but it makes products sold abroad more expensive. Nintendo, for example, gets 3/4 of its sales from outside of Japan, and the strength of the yen can make its games less attractive to consumers in the US. And it's not alone. Well-known manufacturers like Sony, Canon, and Toyota are in the same boat. Now, Japan's finance minister, Yoshihiko Noda, has decided it's time to try and weaken the value of the currency by selling Japanese yen and buying US dollars.
We've just intervened in the currency market in order to avoid rapid exchange rate moves. We will take decisive steps if necessary, including intervention while continuing to closely watch currency market moves from now on.
It seems the Japanese prime minister feels more confident to take aggressive measures after fighting off a leadership challenge. The intervention caught traders by surprise, and the impact was immediately obvious. But Japan acted alone, without international cooperation from other central banks. And that means the effect may be short-lived. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
In Asian trading today, the Nikkei shot up about 2.5% with news on the yen. But Europe right now is lower. Shares across the board are down about 0.5% right now. Wall Street yesterday mixed for the most part. The Dow was down 17 points to end the day at 10,562.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. And by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market.
Shareholders for United and Continental Airlines meet this Friday, likely to approve their merger. If that happens, all those planes will get a redesign, and the old United U-shaped blue and red tulip logo will go away forever. The decision to get rid of that logo sparked an online protest among thousands of flyers loyal to United, which got Sally Herships, a reporter, thinking about why some people can get so attached to a brand.
Some people want to save the trees, other people whales. For Jerry Benzel, it's the United logo. Benzel is 30. He's a PhD student in poli-sci in Laguna Beach, California. He's also very unhappy. United is planning to put Continental's globe-shaped logo on its planes after their merger. So he joined a group on Facebook, Save the United Tulip.
It's sort of like someone you know getting a face transplant.
Creepy. Except a logo isn't a person. It's a corporate symbol.
But, you know, symbols have always been important. nations have flags, religious symbols. Well, it makes sense in this age where corporations, you know, have such a big presence in our lives that the symbol for that corporation begins to mean something.
And Benzel says it does mean something to him. He feels proud to be a customer. The airline is one of the country's oldest.
You know, I'm almost embarrassed to say it. It's almost like these warm, tingly emotions.
People get emotionally attached to brands. But why? To find out, I asked Tim Calkins. He teaches marketing at the Kellogg School of Management.
It's not just about a product. It's about a brand that has a role in my life and the associations around it.
Like the orange juice you had on your first day of school or the airline you flew on your honeymoon. If you pair a brand with an experience, even everyday products can take on a lot of meaning. But when consumers care, brands have to be careful. Calkins told me about one misstep when department store Macy's was buying up lots of small regional chains.
And in many markets, when they changed the branding to Macy's, the change was fine.
Macy's would gradually fade out the old name, while their own name slowly got bigger, until the retailer got to Chicago and the Windy City's beloved Marshall Fields. In September 2006, Macy's changed the signs overnight.
And even now, there's groups in Chicago that continue to protest that change.
Calkin says there's a lesson here for United and other brands. Take it slow or run the risk of turning off loyal customers. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, the people who make the sweetener high fructose corn syrup would love to change their brand. They're asking the Food and Drug Administration to let them call it corn sugar. The makers say the old name is negative from years of misinformation, that it causes worse obesity than cane sugar. It's not the first time food makers have sought some naming help. Dried plums, you'll remember, used to be called prunes. And 30 years ago, that bottle of canola oil was called low erucic acid rapeseed oil. That stuff used to just fly off the shelves. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.